As I said, I'm so excited about having this guest, along with Dr. Cornel West, come on board with us. I'll never forget about 5 years ago, it was cold. They were in town to do something over at the Lyric, along with Michael Eric Dyson. And the three of them came to our Christmas drive, and we had the best one we have ever had. And they came that morning, and we were able to take care of well over 1,300 kids as a result of them making their personal appearances. And it turned around that night and did what they had to do over at the Lyric. So people, whatever the Tavis calls, I just tell my producer, hey, whatever time he wants, just do it. And Dr. Cornel West, hey, my brother, it's a joy to have you join both Tavis and I. Gentlemen, you got this book. I had a chance to catch all the information in advance. The Rich and the Rest of Us. Well, I'm part of the rest of us.
A whole lot of us are. Let me start, Brother Larry, by saying congratulations to you on that heavy 100.
Thank you, sir.
That's a big deal. You think of all the persons in talk radio, and I've said for many years that talk radio is what I call a conservative citadel. So first of all, just to be on talk radio from the left, from a progressive position where you stand, and to do it for 14 years on this morning show, and to be loving and serving people the way you have politically in your career and here on talk radio, it's a wonderful thing to celebrate to see you on that list. I want to just start by saluting you and the wonderful work you've been doing for a long time, brother.
Man, bring us joy and give us good credibility when the both of you take the time to join us this morning. Dr. West, can you hear us, sir?
Oh, indeed. I'm just so blessed to be in conversation with both of you. Congratulations, heavy hitter, Brother Larry Young.
Well, let's talk about The Rich and the Rest of Us, because I want the family, we call our radio audience the family, to know mm-hmm. that the two of you are going to be here, and why it is so important for you, once again, to find the right topic at the right mode for the conscience of our nation to put this out here.
I've been honored for 25 years now to be the little brother of Cornel West, if you will. I'm the eldest of 10 kids, and Dr. West has an older brother named Cliff, so he's the baby brother in his family. I'm the eldest brother in my family, so 25 years ago we got together, and I am the younger brother he never had. He's become the older brother that I never had. And for 25 years, we've been blessed to do a lot of good work together in this country and around the world. But this is, for many of our support base and listeners and followers, this is a collector's item, given that it is the first book that we have ever authored together. Between the two of us, I didn't realize this until we were introduced somewhere the other night. Between the two of us, we have over 35 books written. But this is the first one we have done together. So what a delight, you can imagine, Brother Larry, it was for me to spend time with Dr. West working on this book called The Rich and the Rest of Us. It essentially is a poverty manifesto that unapologetically wants to put poverty higher on the American agenda. Put another way, we want to make poverty a priority in this country. Dr. West says all the time, and he's right, we talk about this in the book, that poverty is the moral and spiritual issue of our time. When one out of two Americans, 50% of us, 150 million Americans, are either in or near poverty, it's time that we have a real conversation about poverty. And as you know, Brother Larry, the last time we had a sustained national conversation about poverty was during the Johnson years. There have been a whole lot of Democrats and Republicans who've occupied the White House since that time. But something is wrong when you get to this point in your society where that many people are wrestling with poverty. We argue in the book that poverty is really threatening our democracy. And so there's a lot in this book. It packs a powerful punch, and we're out on the road and here in Baltimore trying to push this agenda, put this issue, rather, higher on the American agenda.
Now, I notice in the publication we talk about 10 lies mm-hmm. about poverty that America can no longer afford. We have a little bit of time. Can we cover a couple?
Well, the first one is that poor peoples have some kind of character flaw and make bad decisions. Now, of course, in many ways, that reminds us of all of us, and maybe even especially some investment bankers in the last few years. But it's a matter of trying to both call into question the kinds of concerns that we ought to have with precious and priceless poor people and act as if it's all their fault. But oftentimes when you lose your job and you lose your mortgage, you lose your health care, it wasn't your fault at all. There was something going on in the workings of the system that generated your unemployment or maybe your underemployment. So it's a matter of understanding that poverty is a result of the system that we live in, where it is triggered, it's targeted poor people, working people, and in some ways it's almost rigged in such a way that 1% of the population own 42% of the wealth, but 22% of our children live in poverty.
Now, the one that I was curious about, I mean, all of them, all 10, is worth giving some detail to. Minorities receive the majority of government entitlements.
That's what the perception is. Put another way, we tend to think that poverty is color-coded. So you think poverty, you think black, you think poverty, you think brown, you think poverty, you think government assistance programs, and that people of color are the ones who benefit most. Well, the reality is, as you know, Brother Larry, that the majority of folk in this country who are poor happen to be white, number one. And when you think about Bill Clinton, who was a friend of ours, but 15 years ago when he passed that welfare reform bill that many of us said then was going to have some dire consequences, 15 years later, the data is in. Women and children are falling faster into poverty than anybody else, and we're not just talking black and brown women. Dr. West and I, as you know, went on a poverty tour last summer. We got on a bus, went to, gave up part of our summer, went to 11 states, 18 cities to get a real, authentic, face-up view as to what poverty really looked like. We wanted to know what damage has this Great Recession really done to our nation. And so in the course of this tour last summer, Brother Larry, we saw Americans of all colors, all races, all creeds on this poverty tour, from Indian reservations to time with military veterans in Ohio, coal miners down in West Virginia, Latinos outside of Chicago, African Americans in Detroit. I mean every race, color, and creed we saw on this tour. And so to suggest that minorities are the only ones who benefit from government support, when clearly we know that the persons who have most benefited from government largesse over the last few years are the Wall Street banksters. They've got more money than anybody. So you know that's a lie. But this book starts out with a portrait of poverty. We paint a picture of how we arrived at this place. And then we talk about the poverty of opportunity in this country. And then we talk about a poverty of affirmation, a poverty of courage, a poverty of compassion, a poverty of vision, a poverty of imagination. We lay all of that out. And then we talk about these 10 big lies about poverty. But most importantly, the book closes with this manifesto that lays out 12 things that absolutely have to be done to get serious about reducing and eradicating poverty.
Could this be considered part of the agenda for the upcoming national elections?
Brother West.
Oh, absolutely. That we want both parties to shatter the kind of silence that they have had when it comes to talking about the plight of poor people. That you look at the Republican Party, you see a lot of language and rhetoric that oftentimes is demeaning to poor people. And you look at the Democratic Party, and they'll make certain rhetorical gestures, but they still talk about middle class, middle class, middle class, as if poor people don't exist, as if poor people are invisible. We challenge both parties to talk seriously about a massive plan, a massive program to make poverty a priority. We actually call for the Eradication of Poverty Conference for the White House to call as soon as the election is over, to bring the best minds, bring poor people, working people's voices together to talk seriously about poverty and to make that connection between poverty and war and accenting the ways in which so much of our money goes into the military industrial complex rather than schools and jobs with a living wage and housing.
See, that's why the two of you are so important to us as a community, because others have their agendas and have rightfully positions to take. But truth be told, look what you did this past summer. Now look where you're about to go with this. The two of you have become really the social conscience of our community, and you play it right and you play it fair. And I'm just happy to call you both gentlemen who I admire and respect and hold up with the utmost. And family, I just want you to know you can catch them at the Enid Pratt Free Library which is, of course, is our main library.
Love it. Love
and, it. And the Mets want to go ahead and name a wing after both of them with 35 books. 35 books. And I'm sure Tavis has made at least, I think Dr. West has been here almost as much, but I know for sure Tavis has been in here enough that they should have a wing named after him over there at the library.
I love that library. Dr. Carla Hayden, I've known for years.
Absolutely.
But I love the library. And I just hate that Dr. West tonight is in. This is the one day on the tour that we had to split up. He's actually in Columbus, Ohio today.
All right.
And I'm here in Baltimore. But I must tell you, I love Columbus, but I'd rather be in Baltimore. So I think Doc got the short end of the stick on this one.
No, you're right about that.
Well, of course.
I'd rather be in Baltimore, too, my brother.
Well, listen. We're going to be working something in the next, towards the fall, in which we're going to the show here. And I can't think of two finer people to be part of our speaker series for 2013 than the two of you. So we'll be trying to get with you on your respective schedules to come this way. Again, and the book is available, family. It's modest. It's a stimulus price. That's what I can say that. And I'm telling you, you need to get a hold of it. This is a lottie-dottie in everybody. Pick up the book. Don't catch me at the bus stop and then saying, can I borrow it? No, you get your own copy. Mm. And make your way down to catch Tavis tonight at the main library so that you can be a part of this. And probably what we'll work out doing soon is setting up a time where we'll take the 10 topics and make them part of our June program. I think we can work that out. I understand Tavis has to be somewhere in the next minutes. I got to let you free.
We salute you, Brother Larry.
Dr. West, you honor us by joining us on the show this morning. It's always a joy, sir. Nothing but the best to you. And even though you're in Ohio, we still consider you a good friend of Baltimore. Have a safe one, sir.
All right.
Have a good time, Doc. I'll see you in New York City tomorrow, brother.
Absolutely, brother.
All right. Brother Larry, I love you, man.
Appreciate you, man.
Nothing you can do about it. I just love you.
Yeah, you know what? I stole that line from you.
I stopped it.
Because that's a strong statement to make.
But I mean
and you only say it. There you go. And that's a beautiful thing.
You only say it to folks who you really feel that way about.
Well, you have a Dr. Hughes expressed to me about you and everything she told me. Plus now what I know for myself, you're unique, you're different, and you're strong, and I respect you. I know you got to make this out of the run.
Thank
you so very much.
Thank you.
Tavis Smiley and Baltimore family, let's make it out there in strong measure so that you can be a part of this happening. And I'm telling you, you're going to want to get the book. And then, of course, the rich and the rest of us. Well, the rest of us, that's where we got to be. And I'm going to swing past. I got a little thing at 8, but I'm going to get past it enough just to be in the door. So come on, Baltimore. Let's show up real strong, okay? It's 7.